Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network. The Best Ever You Show is here to help you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products and businesses, real life stories. With this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. And now, here is your host, Elizabeth.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Best Ever You Show. Thank you so much for listening. We're really excited to be with you today. I took probably about a month off, I think it's been. I've been kind of sick. You can hear it in my voice a little bit, but hopefully I will not cough. I will not sneeze or anything during this show. We're just going to have some fun. It's just us. I have this awesome guest with me here today. His name is John Pierre. He's an author with Hay House, and he's a nutrition and fitness consultant. He's got, you've got a lot of years with all of this expertise with geriatrics, nutrition, fitness, women's empowerment, green living, and hopefully for our food allergy audience, we'll talk maybe a little bit about that as well. I don't know what his full expertise is there, but I'm guessing he's got something to say there too. But really, really excited that he's here with us. His website, let me just spell it for you. It's johnpierre.com, so johnpierre.com. So I also wanted to just mention that our show today is sponsored by Infinite Universe Handbags. So they sent me these, I've got to pull up their website and everything kind of off the cuff here, but they sent me these gorgeous handbags. They're called Infinite Universe. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful handbags. So if you get a chance while we're talking and things like that, maybe I'll pull up the website and tell you a little bit more about them. But, oh, my gosh, these handbags are so beautiful. They're leather, and they've got rock and stone and tassels. And just, I mean, they're the most gorgeous handbags ever. And so I'll be posting that information along with the radio show and links to their website and their social media as well. But Karen has designed a fantastic handbag. And they're just absolutely beautiful. So that's Infinite Universe Handbags is the sponsor for the show today. So with that said, let me welcome John. How are you, John? Hopefully you have a voice and no cough, unlike me. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Yeah, thank you for being here with us. I just want to tell everybody, let's just start off with your book. Your book is called Pillars of Health. What inspired you to write your book? And just tell us a little bit about your book. It's exciting. It's hard to write books.
Yeah, well, what happened with me is just I've been teaching for 25 years, and the challenge is I see so many different clients all the time from my specialty, which is actually geriatrics, you know, and then I work with kids, I work with military. But I was seeing a decline in pretty much everyone across the board, especially the last 7 to 10 years, just cognitively, emotionally, physically, they were declining. And I had been taking notes and putting together this book for a while, but it really wasn't until, you know, I start seeing things just start turning really poor with people coming in to see me that I felt a little bit more pressure to get the book done. So that was my main reason that I got it out so quickly, although it took me 25 years.
let me ask you, tell us what the book is about.
Pillars
of Health, and it's a Hay House book, right? That you're publishing
right.
At Hay House?
Mm-hmm. And there's basically four pillars in the book. The first one is on nutrition, and it's encouraging you to get more plant matter into your diet. And we talk about the different antioxidants and phytochemicals or phytonutrients that are found in there and the fiber and the reason why we want more plant foods. And then the next pillar is the pillar of motion. And motion, I don't really call it exercise because I don't really encourage exercise so much at a gym or so much of a regimen. I encourage people to move their body throughout the day. So I talk about the philosophy behind that and how it affects the immune system and how it affects your mood. And then, of course, my specialty, which is enhancing cognitive functioning. So there's a large section on there on the dramatic problems that we've been seeing with brain deterioration in kids with attention deficit and hyperactivity. And I gave them some studies in there that clients that I've worked with who've had problems, and we were able to completely get them back to normal. And then the final pillar is the most important one, which is really love and compassion. And that's the most important component to the book because that's where we have the biggest deficit in not only in the United States but in the world in general. So those are the four pillars of health.
Nice. And tell me a little bit more about tell our audience and me a little bit more about your background. You said
sure.
You were in, go ahead.
I've been teaching for 25 years, and my specialty is really in enhancing cognitive functioning in seniors. So I was really one of the first persons to create brain-building classes in the United States that utilized nutraceuticals for the brain, so nutrients for the brain, encouraging more plant-based foods and even things like smoothies and juices to basically, many of these seniors are just so low in nutrients. And then I used aromatherapy and then a lot of cognitive and physical exercises for them. But, you know, I've worked with a lot of high-speed people, too, a lot of military and police and so forth, security personnel. And basically, you know, I've just been teaching for 25 years, and I think what I bring to the table the best is 25 years of seeing clients around the clock. So from early in the morning to late at night, working with clients and, you know, seeing what works and what doesn't. Because there's a lot of science out there that we could follow this particular diet or exercise regimen, and scientifically they're correct, but it's not really doable by most people. Most people just can't do a lot of the diets and things that are out there. They can't fit it into their lifestyle, and emotionally they can't do it.
People are all different, aren't they? It seems to me, I know that's been one of the hardest things on Best Ever You is the health and wellness section, where it should be, you know, easy, but there's so many different people out there promoting so many different things. And it gets hard because, you know, to go with the so many people, there are so many people that need so many different things. It's hard. There's not just one thing that fits everyone. Do you agree with that, or do you have to kind
sure.
of find
well,
what works for you?
And most of the time, it's emotionally it doesn't work for people. That's the challenge. I mean, you have to be able to, like, if I'm working with somebody in the military or a construction worker, emotionally, he's not going to be able to go to work eating big bean sprout, you know, salad in front of all his other friends who are construction workers. So you have to find a way to get that plant matter into his diet and let him still go to work and make it look like he's eating some of the junk food that they're eating. So in those cases, you know, I basically will do more smoothies for them, or I'll have them do wraps. So they're putting their vegetables in a wrap and they wrap it up, and then it just looks like a sandwich. So emotionally, you have to be able to reach people. You just can't give them the perfect diet, and it may be perfect for their body, but it's not perfect for their lifestyle.
So is your main mission to help people get healthy?
Right. My main goal, sure, is to give information out, and then let you decide what you want to do with it. So I don't have a system per se that I'm trying to push on people. I just provide information, and then you decide what you want to do with it. And that's what I've done for 25 years. So, I mean, I don't have an agenda behind it other than wanting to get information to people, because so much information out there on nutrition and fitness and environmental issues is just, it's not accurate. I mean, you have people using tabloid magazines as their medical journals. And that's where they're finding out their information about diet and fitness, some tabloid magazine. So it's just not accurate.
What do you think makes for the strongest foundation and lasting health, as it says here on your website? I see, you know, do you want to maybe go into the four pillars a little bit more?
Sure.
And discuss that? I would love to
sure.
do that, because I think, you know, those really are the four key components that make somebody really, you know, a healthier
absolutely.
A healthier person or being, whatever you want to say there. So let's talk about, you want to talk about food first? You want to go in
sure.
order? I'd love
yeah,
for you
we
to
can
talk
go with
a little
food.
Bit more about your book.
Sure. Well, the challenge with food is that it's not food. It's frankenfood. So 90% of our diet today is either processed foods or animal products. So when you look at processed foods and animal products, these are foods that are causing and creating disease in the body. And when you start taking 10% of our diet is maybe plant matter and 90% is processed or animal products, when you look at the cultures who live the longest in the world and who function very well into their 80s and 90s, 90 to 99% of their diet is plant matter and maybe 1 to 10% of their diet is animal products, but 0% of their diet is processed foods. So the more processed foods you eat, the more nutrients you actually steal from your body. Because, for instance, when you consume sugar, since sugar, refined sugar, has no nutrients in it, when you take it and ingest it in your body, in order to turn that sugar into energy, it uses up different nutrients like B vitamins, magnesium, chromium. These are all very important nutrients, especially the B vitamins, because they control brain functioning and neurological functioning. The average American is eating 150 pounds of sugar per person per year. So could you imagine
a lot of
you take
sugar.
All these little Well, yeah, imagine little kids who are just basically consuming diets of sugar and salt and fat, and they're not getting B vitamins in their diet readily. And what little bit of B vitamins they do have, it's being gobbled up by the sugar, so it's impossible for their brain to work normally. I mean, I was just in front of Congress in Washington, D.C. for 170 congressional people, and I explained to them that when you have children that are watching violent video games, playing actually these games, shooting people and they're beating animals in these games, and then you have them listen to music that's derogatory toward women, it's got a lot of vulgarity, it's basically triple X music, and then you have them watch pornography in sixth grade, and then you couple that with a nutrient-deficient diet, is it any wonder that children are going berserk today? How would it be possible for them to have normal brain functioning when they're being programmed from birth to always be in an excitatory mood? And then they eat foods that are excitatory toxins. So that's why it's so important. In my book, I talk about the magical warehouses, plants, because the plants are what we need to consume more of. These are the antioxidants that preserve your brain tissue from damage, preserve you from prematurely aging. They boost your immune system. You know, we have seniors today, in basically they're older adults who, if they get a cut or if they get a flu or pneumonia, they can die from that because their immune system is so weak. So it's something that we need to start increasing. And one of the things that I do, I talk in my book about how important it is to use a blender to make smoothies and to make blended soups. Because this way you can put a massive amount of plant matter and nutrients into a glass and drink it instead of having to eat salads and vegetables all day. Now, I'd be happy if somebody would eat salads and vegetables all day, but here's where, as I always say, it's not realistic for most people. Most kids are not going to eat, you know, kale for breakfast and some almond milk and some blueberries and some mangoes, but they'll eat a Pop-Tart or they'll eat some sugary cereal. But if I take all those healthy ingredients and I put them in a blender and I make a smoothie, the child will gladly drink that down. So that's something that's doable for a child, and that's doable for an adult, and it's doable for a senior. So increasing plant matter is key. Reducing the amount of animal products in your diet is key. Particularly the most dangerous animal product would be dairy products. That's the one absolutely we need to get out of our diet, because that you're taking in a hormonal secretion from a bovine. So you're taking in hormones from another species. And that's one of the things that causes so many allergies in people, a big development of mucus in the nose and in the throat. And one of the things it causes is actually people don't realize it, but you become addicted to it because inside dairy products are these opioid substances. They're called casomorphines. And the reason they're in there is because just like when you breastfeed as a baby, if your mother's breast milk doesn't taste good, you're not drawn to it. So these casomorphines not are only in human milk, but they're in animal milk, and they make you addicted to it. So it's always calling your name. That's why dairy products are usually the hardest for people to give up, because they're actually a drug. It's actually an addictive substance. So once
that
we start reducing
ice cream, right?
Well, but the thing is, you can go to companies like, say, So Delicious, which is one of my favorites, and they make a coconut ice cream, and it's phenomenal. They make an incredible amount of different products that I use. They make basically it's a dairy-free yogurt. They make all sorts of different dairy-free products. So you can just replace it. When I started, you know, eating this way 30 years ago, there weren't any of those products. So today it's easy.
What was the name of that again? Because we do have a lot of people on Food Allergy Zone with dairy allergies. That would be very helpful if you could say that again.
Sure. It's So Delicious. So it's just capital S,
right,
small O, and then capital D for delicious. So Delicious.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And as a matter of fact, I'm just getting ready to do a demonstration tonight, and I'm actually using those products in my food demonstration. So, yeah, so that it's pretty easy to do now. There's different cheeses that are dairy-free, but you want to make sure when you look at the package, it says casein-free, because casein is the milk protein that most people have problems with. So you want to make sure it says casein-free, or I'll say vegan. So once we start adding more plant matter to our diet and reducing the animal products, that's when we start creating vitality. Because what I'm seeing in my office is I've been seeing premature aging at a rapid pace. And if you cut an apple in half and you let it sit out, you know, exposed to oxygen, it turns brown. But if we cut an apple in half and squeeze lemon juice on it, it preserves that tissue so it doesn't age. And that's because the vitamin C, the ascorbic acid that's in that lemon, and other antioxidant components and phytonutrients. So that's what we need in our lifestyle, is more of these antioxidants from foods, not supplements, from foods.
Yeah, we love green smoothies on Best Ever You, or red ones, or whatever color you want to make them. I'm 44 now, and 2 years ago, somebody introduced me to the idea of green smoothies. I wish they had done it 20 years earlier. Completely changed my life. So I do one or sometimes two green smoothies every day. And mine are green because I don't do the strawberries, all that stuff. I just do I do spinach, cucumber, pear, ice and water. So I've got some food allergies, so I can't do too much more than that. I know a lot of people put almond and protein and all this stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
But can you explain why, and I've done this before with Best Ever You, but it'd be nice to hear it from you. Why are those smoothies or juicing or, you know, it's sort of like anything's better than, you know, processed cereal for the most part, I don't know, or, you know, all those things that you were mentioning. Why are green smoothies so important to our diet?
Well, the key word that you said is green smoothie, because there are a lot of people who make just fruit smoothies or very sugary smoothies, and I don't encourage those. And
yeah.
I also don't encourage juicing very often. And when I do encourage it, it's usually green juices or juicing something like a watermelon and then creating popsicles out of it. For kids, that works good. But a smoothie is basically taking the whole entire fruit or vegetable and putting it in, obviously minus the peel if you're using an orange or something, putting it in the blender. And all you're doing is it's basically chewing the food for you. Now, would I rather have somebody chew the food themselves? Absolutely, because you'll have a tendency to eat a little bit slower, their digestion, you know, the amylase, the digestive enzyme in your mouth will start mixing with food. But it's not realistic to think that everybody's going to sit down for breakfast to a glass of almond milk or a glass of rice milk, a big bowl of kale, some blueberries, and some, you know, mangoes. It's not realistic.
Yeah.
So the reason why it is, it's because it's something that's realistic. It's doable by everyone. And the main reason they have a smoothie is because you're taking a massive amount of food and condensing it into just a little glass. It's kind of like the difference between drinking one glass of apple juice that, say, had six apples in it, or if I said I need you to eat six apples a day. That'd be kind of hard to eat six apples a day. But if I juice them or blend them, you can consume it much more easily.
Yeah. You know, somebody also said that it helps regulate your blood sugar. And I kind of notice that, like, if I get up in the morning and I do a green smoothie, and I'm kind of a creature of habit, again, because of food allergies, so I do that cucumber, pear, spinach or kale, and then the ice in the water. Mine needs to be cold. I don't like them. I don't like warm smoothies. Anyway, it feels like my whole morning I'm good to go.
Sure. And actually, if you want to add something in there, like a ground flaxseed, then it'll sit in your system even longer, and then you'll be getting good, healthy omega-3s in there, lignans, you know, you're getting good fiber in there, and you're getting some vitamin E in there. So by adding a little bit of something like a ground flaxseed or chia seeds, will actually give you, it'll satisfy you even longer.
I've been adding fresh ginger. That's what I've been adding.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, ginger is a very warming tonic herb. It can act as a blood thinner, so ginger, cinnamon, blueberries, wine, aspirin, those are blood thinners, so you have to be careful if somebody's on Coumadin or they, you know, had some issues. But, yeah, ginger is a very important spice. And in my book, I talk quite a bit about spices, particularly for the brain, because spices were originally created, not so much for flavor, but food preservation, because they're so antiviral, antibacterial, antifungal agents in them, they preserve food. And so when you take them in your body, it's just like turmeric or the active constituent curcumin in there, that's one of the best anti-inflammatory nutrients out. That's why they think the people in India have such a low rate of Alzheimer's disease, is because they eat so much of the curry, and that is so high in that particular antioxidant, so it's anti-inflammatory. So spices are wonderful.
Yeah. Spices fascinate me, and it's one of the I always think, gosh, with all my food allergies, I think I'd be allergic to spice, but I'm not. And so I love butter and, like you were saying, cumin and red pepper. And, I mean, I love spices. Spices are very interesting to me because of all the things
curcumin
that they do.
The curcumin is a little bit different than cumin, but all the spices are basically have some antibacterial component to them. And then, of course, essential oils are even more powerful. And I have a whole section on essential oils for the brain. But they're very powerful.
Cool.
And they should not be ingested. Unless, you know, you're under the care of an aromatherapist or somebody trained in essential oils.
Yeah. Oh, that's neat. Sounds like a great book for people. Just to, is the book intended to, is it geared towards somebody with a beginning level knowledge, or does it take into consideration that somebody might have more knowledge? Is it written for all levels, or is it beginning?
Well, it depends when you say all, your level of knowledge, it depends what you may consider a high level. Maybe a scientist or doctor wouldn't, but so
right.
It really depends on what you consider. But basically, everyone who's been reading and giving reviews has said there's something in it for everyone, because the component in there on movement, on motion, is completely, nobody's talking about it, because everyone's encouraging people to go to gyms and exercising there. But what they're forgetting is that if you're sleeping for 8 hours a day and then you're sitting most of the day, you can't go to a gym for an hour every day or every other day and think 1 hour of working out at the gym is going to counter 23 hours of sedentary living. It doesn't work that way. It's like you just can't eat pizza and ice cream and candy all day and have a glass of orange juice and say, oh, I'm healthy now. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
It's something you need to keep your body moving all day long. And so there's a lot of different exercises that I show in there that are particular, that we particularly need if you're sitting a lot. There's certain stretches you need to do, especially most of your lymph nodes are in your breast and your groin region. So think about it, when you're sitting, that's kind of a compromised position. There's not a lot of lymphatic fluid moving throughout the body when you're sitting all day, and that hampers your immune system. That actually weakens you. And so that's why it's important to be moving throughout the day. So that's one of the things that's a little unique about the book, the different exercises in there. And then, of course, the section on the brain, that's what I've been doing for over 20 years. So I give a lot of examples of what I've used for seniors and people who came in my office even in their 40s and 50s that had cognitive decline. So, again, different herbs that I recommend and nutrients and, of course, essential oils, and then different exercises for your brain I cover in there too. And then the last component, unfortunately, is the most neglected in our society, and most books aren't talking about it, and that's love and compassion. Because love and compassion is really the antidote to what we see in our world from the minute you wake up to the minute you go to bed, which is anger, hatred, jealousy, rage. It's all these negative components.
Chaos.
You only eat 3 times a day, and maybe snacks, but you have hundreds of thousands of thoughts and images in your brain continually. And every time you have an image or you say a word, your brain, your emotions are always eavesdropping on you. So they hear that, and they respond back by releasing different chemicals in the body. So when you go see a scary movie, and your heart starts racing and your fists are starting to clench, well, you're just looking at a celluloid screen. There's no boogeyman on the screen. But your brain doesn't know the difference between what's real and what's not. So all of a sudden it sends out adrenaline to start making your heart pump more. Well, imagine what happens to the average American who's thinking negative thoughts all day and saying negative words all day. Imagine the damage and the trauma that's occurring in them all day. So that's the most important chapter of the whole entire book, is the love and compassion, because that's the antidote to everything.
I love it. Yeah, it's certainly very important that, and let's expand on that if you can with me for a moment here. And are you talking about love and compassion and peace towards yourself and others, or in what terms are you talking about that?
Well, of course, because eventually when you get down to it, we're all one. It's kind of like your red blood cells that are trying to get oxygen to your brain. Imagine if they got into an argument in your artery. Say, hey, I was first. No, I was first. No, I was first. They're all part of the same entity. So that's why the body works so well together. But in our society, we let our egos and emotions get involved. And that's why there's a lot of fighting. And sometimes you just have to learn to just forgive and just let go. But the whole purpose of the book in terms of that chapter is first be kind and loving to yourself, and then let that expand to your family members and friends. And ultimately, as you become a loving being, then you won't even have enemies. You won't have people you don't like, because you're loving and caring to everyone. And that's the most important thing. And I talk about a story in the book about when I was first working in a health food store close to 30 years ago, and I was new, but I still had my same philosophies as I do today. And there was a really angry, nasty customer that came in, and nobody wanted to work with her. Everyone kind of just ran away. And I said, oh, I'll help her. And so I was helping her, and, she wasn't super nice and friendly. But as she was checking out, if we had a customer that spent more than, say, $100, we'd give them a present. And she didn't spend $100, but I went under the counter, and I said, hey, I'd like to give you this present. And she kind of looked really shocked, because she was not really nice to me. And when I saw that look on her face, I kind of thought, wow, let me go get her another one. So I got her another one and another and another, and I kept giving her these free presents. And she stopped and she looked at me and she said, you know what? She said, no one's ever done anything like that for me before. And her whole being just changed there, because her whole life, I'm sure, she was used to being mean to people and people would be mean back, and it was this little seesaw game. But here was a time where somebody was kind and loving to her, even though she was mean to them. And it really changed her just right there. She said to me, she was, are you going to be here more often? You know, that was a pivotal point, because that was like 30 years ago. And I was just starting out in the nutrition and fitness field, really. So that's what I mean. You have to be kind and loving to everyone, because, you know, I've worked with abused women for close to 30 years, actually when I started learning. And you don't know the past that these people have had. You don't know the trauma they've been subjected to. So everyone is deserving of love and kindness. And especially the more angry and mean they are, the more love and kindness they need, because that's the antidote to their anger. If somebody has heart disease, you don't give them more saturated fat and cholesterol and sodium. You give them the antidote. Well, if somebody's mean and angry, you don't be mean and angry back if you're trying to help them.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I was going to ask you, what made you get started in all of this in the first place? Were you really interested in this as a child?
Well, in high school, the two oral reports I did were in front of your peers were animal rights and women's rights. Those were the two that I stood up in front of the class and did a report on, and that's the same thing that I do today. So I was basically just, I've always wanted to help, and I've always wanted to make the world better and more peaceful and kind. And then I started following a plant-based diet 30 years ago in high school. And then, of course, I obviously just, then my education really started beginning once I got out of high school. So, and it's never stopped. I'm still continuing getting certifications and doing seminars and things like that. But my main motivation was just wanting to help make the world a better place. I just wanted to be, just kind of like a candle that was lighting a candle that wasn't lit. And then I would hope that they would take their knowledge and go help somebody else. So that's kind of always been my goal.
And what made you as a young person choose, you know, for example, animals or women? What made you pick that? I'm just curious, because everybody kind of has their why. I just think it's interesting.
Well, I didn't really just, those weren't the only two. I mean, I used to go as a kid downtown, take a subway and feed the homeless people with food I had made. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, my specialty in geriatrics. So as a kid, I would go shovel the walks. People, when it was snowing, I'd shovel their walk for them and leave for free, you know, just to help them.
It
was basically just, it was just trying to help humanity everywhere. So it didn't matter where it was. There was no particular area, but I just wanted to be where there was a need. In other words, I didn't need to really work with athletes so much, even though in high school and stuff I was an athletic trainer with and a player at the same time. But that didn't appeal to me so much, because that was more of a sport and fun stuff. It wasn't like a real life or death need.
Yeah, you sound kind of programmed the way I am. You just kind of, it doesn't, did somebody teach that to you, or is it just, to me, it's just kind of who I am. That's just how I'm made up.
I think it's probably just a combination of, it's a combination of both. And again, I think it's not following any particular religion other than just wanting to be kind and compassionate
to other people. Do you notice sometimes when you're that way that maybe I like your example, because sometimes when you are that way and you notice other people aren't, if you throw a little kindness towards somebody, it might change an outlook, a human being, a moment, a person. You never know. I love that example that you gave with the lady in the health store.
Yeah, that is one that I think of all the time, you know, even to this day. I mean, like I said, I'm the same as I was back then, but it was like I always knew that if a house is on fire, you don't pour gasoline on it. So, you know, if somebody's mean and angry, you don't agitate them, make them more mean and angry, because that's not what they need. And, you know, working, honestly, with all the abused women I have for all these years, I've really learned a lot about what their past was like. Because when somebody says maybe they have a troubled marriage or something, you don't really know what that means. And when you start hearing what it really means, it's pretty sad. And you could understand how there'd be women out there who aren't friendly or happy or definitely don't like men, because they've had a lot of trauma. So we have to be, you know, we have to be very respectful and realize that we don't know everybody's story. And so we need to be extra cautious and extra kind to people that maybe are a little agitated.
Yeah, and I think extra kind to yourself too, because when we feel ourselves agitated, or when we don't feel so great about what's going on with our body or whatever, and then you're hard on yourself all day or for days on end or whatever, you're doing exactly what you said, like just pouring gasoline onto the fire, and to teach yourself to create that compassion and love for yourself. That can be tricky for people to really understand how to do that and how to bring that into their life. If you're sitting there, like used to looking at yourself in the mirror going, God, I look fat and ugly and old, and well, girls are the masters at that. So to bring that kindness and compassion in is cool. Once it seems like you have to reprogram your brain a little bit to do that. Yourself.
Well, yeah,
it seems like it can come easier to other people, but on yourself, you're just 10 times as hard.
Well, that's the challenge with the TV and radio and the media today, because it's basically brainwashing you all day long. You're continually getting bombarded with these messages. And for instance, with my clients, I never have my clients ever weigh themselves, because I don't want a woman to ever measure her self-worth by a number. And so I ask them, how are you feeling? How are you performing? What's your energy level like? If they want to get a lipid or a blood chemistry, that's fine to look at that. But I just don't have them weighing themselves at all. And oftentimes when I work with a client who's had abuse in their life, anytime they think a negative thought or somebody says something to them that's negative, I ask them to counter that with three positive things immediately. So they're always programming themselves with positive things, and they're canceling out any negativity.
Great advice. Do you have a few minutes more, or do you have to go? Because I wanted your 5-minute. Okay, good. I'd love to talk about your 5-minute activism on your website, which is johnpierre.com.
Sure.
And if you're just joining us, which you can see a few people just did, we're talking with John Pierre. He's the author of The Pillars of Health, and that's Your Foundations for Lifelong Wellness. It's a book by Hay House, which we love our buddies at Hay House. You can get the book at hayhouse.com or wherever books are sold. And so let's come back to our discussion and talk about 5-minute activism. This is pretty cool. It says on your website it can take 5 minutes to change the world.
Yeah, I think one of the challenges is everyone that I meet always tells me some story. When I win the lottery, I'll help the world. When I'm done with my college, I'll help, or so forth. But they don't realize that, the smallest little deed that you do is far greater than the largest intention that you have. Because lots of people intend to do things, but they never get to it. But it's the person that goes outside and they pick up one or two pieces of garbage. It's the person who opens the door for somebody. It's the person who writes the letter to their senator, to the company. And that's pretty much what I've subscribed to for a long time, is that idea of 5-minute activism. And I do it all the time. So I'll be reading a magazine, and this is an actual story, and on the back there was a picture of an Asian woman. And she had herself, she was topless with her chest pressed against a, bamboo. And this was a health magazine. And I wrote to the owner of the company, and I said, I really find this is very offensive and it's degrading, and I don't think it's appropriate for a magazine of your caliber. And the owner wrote me back, and he said, we're pulling the ad. Now, whether he pulled it because I complained or maybe I complained with other people. So it's like little things that you do. It's the little call that you make, or it's the little... maybe you write your senator email here and there. And so I post those on my website, little things that you can do. But anything just small and simple, like even if you were just at, a lot of people do things where they'll go to, if they're getting a coffee or a tea, they'll pay for the person in back of them. And if little things like that add up, because that creates a chain reaction, because now you made that person's day happier, and they start thinking, hey, how can I pay it forward?
Definitely. Yeah, and some of the things on your website, they might be a little bit more geared toward animals, but it's eye-opening if this is real, of some of the things that they do to animals. Do you want to talk about a little bit?
Yeah.
It seems to be, I'm down the list going, really? I think I need to click here.
It's
at some of the things that I'm not even aware of.
Yeah, I mean, the stuff that are happening to our animal friends is just an atrocity. And that's one of the reasons, again, 30 years ago that I began, following a plant-based diet. And that's why I don't use any sort of cosmetics or any things that's tested on animals. I don't wear animals. So basically, again, you're just trying to put this love energy everywhere you go because you're always voting with your dollar. That's the most powerful tool you have is your dollar, because every time you buy something, you're supporting a company or a cause. And so I'm very cautious about who I promote. I want to make sure that they have the highest standards that I can find. And so I just think that people just need to kind of get out of the complacency attitude and just live. They're always living life just kind of on autopilot. And they need to shut off autopilot and take control of their own life and be cautious of the things that you think about, be cautious of the things that you eat, be cautious of the way that you move your body. And, of course, be very cautious about, you know, what you're paying for. You know, who are you voting for?
Yeah, definitely. Was there anything – so you've got a list here. Again, it's johnpierre.com/activism. That's a pretty interesting list there. And you can click – like if I'm not going to do that right now because we're on the air, but you can click on a number of these things, and it'll help, for example, you know, help save beagle puppies from experimentation or things like that. So you've got a lot of things listed on here, and these just seem to all pertain to animals. But what you're also saying is that with just a minute or moment or 5 minutes or whatever it is, you can do really nice things for people and to think about other people. And
sure, and then also
doing
on my Facebook. I usually post things on my Facebook also. And there was an article I just posted on Facebook on dairy that's gotten over 70,000 likes. So that's a really good article if you're looking to try to remove dairy out of your lifestyle.
Yeah. All right, perfect. So maybe I'll repost that into Food Allergy Zone or direct people over to your Facebook. That's great. Yeah, I noticed your Facebook. I absolutely love your Facebook. Do you want to tell people how to get to you on Facebook? Is it just facebook.com/ and then your name?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah, well,
okay.
Actually, if you go to my website, and just click on the Facebook button.
Oh.
That's the best way because I always am posting new things, too, on my website all the time. So it's good to just check my – and same thing if you purchase my book. If you go directly to my website and just click on my book, you can order it right there.
Okay. Yeah, and I just clicked on your Facebook and liked it because for some reason I hadn't done that before. I don't know why. But it's facebook.com/peacelovejp. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get there that way. And then on Twitter, you are also peacelovejp. So love that so people can find you. So peacelovejp. That's in keeping with that last most important part of your book. I love it.
Right.
Any favorite recipes before we go? I love the fact that you have recipes on your website. I know you're a big fan of smoothies. What else? What else do you recommend for us to look at?
I think one of the things is, again, getting yourself a good blender and a good pressure cooker. Those are really good because when you start steaming up all these different vegetables and potatoes, you start pre-making everything and you store it in your refrigerator. And same thing with smoothies. You can drink a smoothie in the morning but make another one and store it in the freezer for 20 minutes till you leave and then sip on it throughout the day. So I have some recipes in my book, and I also work with Chef AJ, and we have a DVD series out, and it's eatunprocessed.com. And what it is, it's me exercising, a new exercise every day for 30 days. Chef AJ is showing you a recipe, and then together we're also talking. So every day you get something new.
Neat.
So there's lots of different recipes. Yeah, we have lots of recipes, but I think the secret is really to try to get as much whole foods as you can in your diet, unrefined foods, so whole grains, whole nuts and seeds, all fresh fruits and vegetables. And then most importantly, you've got to make sure you get beans, peas, or lentils in your diet if you can, because they're a really good source of protein for you, and they're very satisfying, and they definitely bring down cholesterol too.
Do you think you could maybe work with me to post a blog or something on Best Ever You and Food Allergy Zone to help people with the nut allergy? I noticed this even in my own diet, being allergic to, and you don't have to say yes or no right now or anything, but just think about this. But I noticed in my own diet, it's very hard because everybody, to me, it seems like to be healthy and to eat whole and all these things, you have to eat almonds and walnuts and all this stuff. And being allergic to peanuts and nuts, like all nuts.
Right.
I can't quite figure out what I should do in my diet to replace that. And then people go, well, fish and fish oil and things like that. And a lot of us in the allergy community have an allergy to peanuts, nuts, fish, and shellfish. Mm-hmm. It seems like those four allergies kind of hang out together. And so
sure.
It's a huge chunk of what I would say really healthy food that's just gone. And you can't just take a fish oil supplement or go eat fish or go eat shrimp or go eat walnuts or almond milk or all these really cool things that people bring into their diet. And so you're left with, what do I do? And it would be so nice to have a really cool answer to that.
Well, first of all, you don't need to have nuts in your diet, but if you could get seeds in your diet, that would be actually in some ways even better, like flaxseed or chia seeds, because they're really not addictive. Aside from people having nut allergies, one of the main problems with nuts is they're very addictive. If you were in primitive times, you wouldn't find nuts very readily available because they would have been eaten already by animals and they'd already be in a shell. So it would take a lot of work to get it. So you wouldn't be able to eat a pound of cashews in a sitting. So that's the challenge with nuts. They're usually refined with sugar, salt, and oil on there. And so seeds would be a great alternative.
Okay. And so let me take it a step further. This might be frustrating a little bit. So I think that, too. I go, okay, seeds, like sunflower seeds or I don't know. I know I come up very allergic to flaxseed as well for some reason. I have no idea why, and I'm quite frankly scared to death to try because it's anaphylaxis. Mm-hmm. So, but I know I'm not allergic to pin seeds or sunflower seeds. And I have the worst trouble finding, and I know a lot of people do in the allergy community, where those particular products that aren't processed in facilities with nuts. So if you ever come across like sunflower seeds that aren't made, you know, in a factory with nuts, if you ever see that, can you let me know, because I'll post it on Food Allergy Zone and so forth, because it's so nice. I think a lot of people with food allergies get frustrated, especially nut allergies. Oh, I can't eat candy, and I can't eat granola bars, and I can't eat cereal. And I think, don't eat it anyway. You know, this is gross for you anyway. So I try and educate people to eat clean and shop the perimeter and go for the fresh fruits and vegetables and, you know, all those things. But it seems like there's like this funky component of, well, that would make me healthy if I had almond milk or something like that. We're trying to find the solutions for that.
Well, you don't need to have almond milk to be healthy, but you don't need to have almond milk to be healthy, but you want to definitely not have regular cow's milk. You want to avoid any sort of animal milk. So you could have rice milk, you could have oat milk if you can have oats. If you eat soy, you could have coconut milk. You can have banana milk. Yeah. Just put a banana in the blender with water and there's banana milk.
That's
so,
a good idea.
There's lots of alternatives.
Yeah, I think it would just be fantastic. So if you ever do any blogs like that, I could post them on our website and so forth. Or if you have that information, I'll certainly post this radio show. But that kind of information is so craved right now by this community. You know, 1 in 13 kids has a food allergy of some sort, and most of it's nut allergies or milk allergies. And it's really frustrating to find good, clean, healthy food and also feel like your nutrition isn't compromised.
Sure. Well, we know one of the challenges with some of these so-called food allergies is a lot of times people have a reaction to the pesticides that are on the product, because there's lots of people who thought they were allergic to strawberries or apples, and suddenly they had an organic apple or organic strawberry at somebody's home and they didn't have any reaction. They've got over like 16,000 pesticides out there. So that all often can be a trigger for some people, too. It's a hypersensitivity. Yeah. It's like a chemical sensitivity. And, again, that's another reason to keep the immune system strong and healthy. Just the more that we're moving our body, the more our lymphatic system is activated, which is basically our immune system. The less sugar we're taking in, the less poisons and toxins. Those are things that hurt the immune system. The moods that are negative, again, anger and hostility, things like that, that suppresses the natural killer cells and the white blood cells in the body, whereas laughter and smiling and being out in the sun and moving, you know, basically elevates the immune system. So in the book, I really included those. That's why those four pillars are so critical. There's other pillars, but those are the four basic ones that if people could work on, it would help them in their life in every avenue, not just with allergies, but their moods and their marriage and their friendship and their own self-esteem.
Yeah, I love this. What it seems, I'm going to buy a copy when we're done. I didn't have a chance to before we got on the air, which is not usually my thing. Usually I read somebody's book before they come on as a guest, but I'm going to go ahead and buy this afterwards, and maybe I'll do a review or something like that on Best Ever You, because it sounds like a fantastic book. And I know in keeping with the Hay House books, they don't seem to publish anything but fantastic books. So sounds like it's going to help just a lot of people. And I'm curious, before we go, I see on your website you've got John Pierre does boot camp with Ellen. I love it. Do you want to tell us? I can't really play the video because we're on the radio, but what was your experience there? That's fun.
Well, sure. If you go to just JohnPierre.com, you'll see me training Ellen at DeGeneres and her staff. And, yeah, that was a lot of fun. That's one of the main things that everyone liked about the class is that movement should be fun. In other words, going to a gym and just lifting weights and sitting on a bicycle and not really going anywhere isn't quite as fun. So when you're doing like a boot camp and you're doing some balance exercises or you're using different balls, you're throwing back and forth and bands and agility ladders, it's fun. And that's the secret, really, to movement is it has to be fun. So if you like square dancing, fantastic. If you like gardening, fantastic. But you have to move your body, and it can't be drudgery because then you're not really helping yourself. And I've met lots of people that would be on hiking trails. When I say hi to them, they have a big snarl as if you're disturbing them. They don't want to even acknowledge you. And it's like you'd like to say to them, you're not hiking to get healthy, I hope. Because if you are, you're hurting yourself even more with your bad mood. You might want to spend more time on your negative attitude. You know, so that's why it's important to be when in life just doing things that are fun for you.
Yeah. What are some of the things that you do? I'm just curious. I know I can see you love to write and you do all these wonderful things, but to keep yourself healthy and be your best, what are some of the things that you do personally? I think people would be interested
in that. I've been following a plant-based diet for 30 years. So for 30 years, again, when I was in high school, I started a plant-based diet. So, you know, that is, again, a diet that's high in antioxidants and you're staying away from poisons and toxins. And then, of course, I try to walk and I try to bike and I try to live active lifestyle. I try not to drive if I don't have to. And then I'm teaching classes all the time and I volunteer a lot. And I do a lot of protests. So actually, since high school, I've been going to protests. So whether it's, you know, something going on that's, you know, some trauma to animals, whether, like recently we did some protests for the circus. And a lot of people didn't understand that they use bull hooks and they use stun guns on the elephants. And so I just get out there and just get information to people. So that makes me happy when I'm out there is just providing information. That brings me a lot of happiness when people's lives change for the better. And they say, oh, my gosh, I never knew any of this information. I never knew this happened. And we show them a video. And they say, wow, it's true. It's not just, you're not just making it up. So, yeah, activism is very important to me. And eating a plant-based diet and moving, you know, moving your body as much as you can, getting sunshine and fresh air, being happy and staying away from the media. Because I think the media is one of the most destructive things in the world. It could be the most powerful, but unfortunately everything you read about is always negative. And then you start viewing the world as very negative and dangerous, and you're always kind of then on guard. You know, you don't really have a realistic view that there's good people in this world. It's not that everyone is bad and committing crimes.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why this show exists. It was my little, hopefully, positive gem in the world, because I started out in broadcasting as well, and just could not do all the negative. I just couldn't do it. I'm like, if I could stand there and report positive all day long, it would be a heck of a job. But I just could not do it. So that's what Best Ever You is now. But on the radio here, it's just positive, just good things into the world. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. So it has been so wonderful to get to know you. I look forward to, like we were talking about before we went on the air, I look forward to meeting you at a Hay House event. And best of luck with your book. It's hard to write books, isn't it? Sorry, I'm losing my voice a little bit.
Well,
excuse me.
Yeah, I've been writing it, like I said, taking notes and putting it together for 25 years. So it's a lot of information. And, yeah, it's kind of hard because you're not sure, you know, how much technical data should you leave in there on nutrition, how much technical data on this. So you can't please everyone. So you just try to make it so hopefully everybody gets a little something out of it.
Yeah. Well, you must be really proud. It's a cool feeling to have a book being published, isn't it? It's fun.
Yeah, it's very nice. Well, it's nice because a lot of people want to work with me one-on-one, and I say, you know what, just read my book. It's a lot cheaper than working with me, and it's a lot easier.
Yeah, on everybody. I think what's really neat, though, is to put something out there that really is positive and helpful and helps the world. It just kind of goes in keeping. You can hear that it's just in line with who you are as a person since you were young. So it's very authentic.
Right,
It sounds really like a great book. So can't wait to read it. And did I miss anything? Was there anything that you wanted to talk about before we go? I know I've kept you here a little bit longer than I should have.
No, I'll just mention that the one thing that I'm working on now is trying to get an animal sanctuary and a retreat center going. And so that's what I've been working on right now. I have a staff already that's committed to working with me. So right now I'm just in the process of looking for land and getting funding for it. So I've been looking predominantly in Colorado. So I'll just be a retreat center where people would come for 2 or 3 days and basically be educated, you know, from morning till night, take classes. And then there would be a sanctuary for animals that have been in laboratories or farm animals.
Wow, that sounds like a great idea, a great goal. Are you how far along are you into the process? So you've got some staff, and you've got what can people do to help you? Is what I'm getting at.
Oh well, mainly the main thing we're looking for is land. Even if it wasn't in Colorado, but we need about 25 acres with water, and of course we need funding. So that's the main thing is the funding, because on part of the work that I've done for 30 years again has been with abused women. So I want to be able to make it a somewhat of a sanctuary for women who need a place to come for a while as a kind of a retreat for them. And basically, you know, when you're around animals that are so loving and non-judgmental, it's a very healing for people to be around that. And people who have had abuse in their life, well, they need that. They need to be around non-judgmental and just loving entities. And so that's where animals really come in, because we're there to help the animals, but in turn, they also help people too.
Help people. Yep, awesome. All right, well, it's been great having you as a guest, and let me direct everybody back to your website. It's johnpierre.com. That's johnpierre.com. And his book, which is a Hay House book, is called Pillars of Health, and you can find that at hayhouse.com. You can find that on John's website or really wherever books are sold. And thank you, John, so much for being with me as a guest, and I hope you'll come back, because it seems like we could about spin off every one of your pillars into a different show and just talk about that for the whole hour. So if you ever want to come back again, please holler, and I'd love to have you back. I'm sure our audience has really enjoyed this information.
Well, thank you, Elizabeth, and thank you for all your great work you're doing, too.
I want to mention before we go, the Infinite Universe website is theinfiniteuniverse.com. They've got their fall 2013 collection out there. There are purses and handbags that are inspired by nature, reflecting the perfection of the infinite universe, and they're just absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous handbags. The founder and designer of the company is called, her name is Karen Hendricks, and she calls herself the force behind Infinite Universe, and her passion for travel is only matched by her love of nature, and these handbags, I'm telling you, they're really, really pretty. They sent me two of them, and I absolutely love them. It's called theinfiniteuniverse.com, and again, we were with John Pierre, the author of The Pillars of Health. And his website, again, is johnpierre.com. And I thank you so much for joining us. And I hope you all have just a beautiful day. And we'll be back on Tuesday, November 19th, with Noah St. John, author Noah St. John. So thank you all so much for listening. And hopefully my voice will be a little bit better on Tuesday. Take care. And thank you so much, John, for joining us. Have a great day, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.